Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Josh Robin of New York One. I'm filling in for Brian. Spring is not the only thing in the air, snow notwithstanding. Tax season is upon us. Are you going to be ready by April 15th? Do you know what forms to fill out, what claims to make? Maybe if you're one of the 53 million Americans doing some sort of freelance work, you're particularly confused. 53 million Americans, that's one in every three workers. While the amount of individuals who choose a freelance life is thriving, the tax system for freelancers is outdated and disorganized. That's according to the executive director of the Freelancers Union, Sarah Horowitz, who is also the author of the Freelancers Union Guide to Taxes. She's with us today in the studio, and so is Jonathan Meadows, CPA in New York. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good Thanks. Morning.
Listeners, are you a freelancer? If you have a question about filing taxes or just a complaint or maybe advice, we want to hear from you, and it's free. Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. One in every three American workers is a freelancer. That's an astonishingly high number, Sarah. Has the freelance workforce always been this strong?
Well, you know, we're really seeing just this enormous change where it's just that so many people are spending some part of their lives freelancing. And I think at tax time, you can really see kind of what's going on. You know, we always say follow the money. And what you can see now is freelancers are just a big part of what's happening with income inequality. It's so hard to be working and middle class. And there's no time worse than that moment that you have to start paying taxes when you feel particularly pinched. And it's just really getting harder for people. And so the whole idea of writing a book on a guide for taxes and having our members and on our website, people can go to Hives and Sparks and talk to other freelancers and get great advice, which is how we have been working so closely with Jonathan. But really, this is a hard time when you don't feel like you have the money and you don't feel like this safety net is really working for you. Freelancers aren't eligible for unemployment insurance, and they're just so pinched, and tax time just is the salt in the wound.
You know, when you're faced with the prospect of having to write out another check to the government, I imagine it's particularly difficult. Jonathan, everybody seems to know that this is a growing part of the workforce, except the IRS, right?
Totally outdated. About 80% of our clientele are freelancers now, and about 80% of the 80% have a crisis around tax time in terms of paying for bills. The tax burden on freelancers is much higher. We have to pay self-employment taxes, meaning we pay double Social Security and Medicare taxes versus people who are self-employed. We have to bear our own expenses, and throwing in freelancers in the New York area, there are extra taxes as well, New York City unincorporated business tax, and your Metropolitan Commuter Transportation Mobility Tax. Mm-hmm. Throw it all in. Throw in the cost of running your business. Throw in a still a rough economy. While the Haves and Wall Street may be doing well, everyone else seems to be struggling. Throwing up rising costs. Subways are going up. The fares are going
this
weekend. Mm-hmm. It's really, really tough. Most of my freelancers, they're struggling to pay this year's taxes, let alone trying to pay estimated taxes for next year. It's really a constant battle of juggling.
Well, we do have a piece of good news, which is that we have you two experts here in the studio, and we have the phone lines available for those who are freelancers. We're going to take priority for freelancers first. We have these two experts here. The phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Sarah, let's ask you, just because a lot of people might be wondering, what is the number one question you both receive?
You know, I think that the big issue is people's incomes are so episodic that it's so hard to plan. So when we're talking about people's taxes, really what you have to be doing is planning to put money aside in order to be able to pay those taxes. So I really think that's the bigger issue. I would say, and Jonathan is really going to be helpful with answering the specific ones, but overall, what we're really seeing is people are doing all sorts of things to get by, whether they're driving in the share economy, or they're crafting, or they're hosting, or they're doing a bunch of different jobs, and their taxes, just in short, are a mess. And it's because it's really the government's obligation to start to figure out, if this is the new workforce and it's one in three, we need a system that makes sense and that is fair. And I think the pain point is just getting worse and worse for people.
All right. Well, let's try to make lives a little bit better. Let's go first to Steve from Westchester. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. I was just calling. I'm a freelancer for the past year and a half or so in the film and television industry, and I was curious about what type of things can be written off on a day-to-day basis, what type of expenses can be tax write-offs.
Good,
freelancer.
Good question, Steve. You know, first of all, you should take a look at how you spend money every day. Clearly, expenses that are ordinary and necessary for you to run your freelance activities are things that you potentially can take off as deductions. So gear, equipment that you buy as for your productions can be a deduction. If you're transporting this stuff, that can be a deduction as well. Computers that you use can be a deduction. Any other out-of-pocket that you're using for your business pretty much can be a deduction. There are some caveats. For example, meals, you can only take a 50% deduction. But you'd be surprised about what you spend money on that potentially can be deductible. You know, I always encourage my clients at come tax time to take a look at their credit card statements, take a look at their bank statements, take a look at out-of-cash expenses, and make a list of what they plausibly can think is a business expense, and then ask a professional whether it's an appropriate deduction.
Can you deduct a portion of your rent, and with it, not just rent, but your electricity, your heating, if you have a home office?
If you have an area exclusively used as a home office, yes, it could be a potential deduction.
But what, when you say exclusively, let's say, you know, one day you're working on Etsy from there, and the next day you might be writing, you know, a card to your mom from your desk.
It should be an area that you're using exclusively for business. It's a bit of a challenge in New York because the apartments are
so small. Yeah.
You can't use your dining room table and then sit, one day host a party there, then the other day say it's an office. But I know when I started, I'm a freelancer as well. I started off in my apartment. I had a separate room that we took off as a home deduction.
Can you take those deductions if you're termed an employee, or do you have to be an independent contractor?
You have to be an independent contractor. But what's interesting is that there's also a concept of a statutory employee. The IRS is kind of vague on this, but one can possibly argue that you're a statutory employee and possibly take that as deductions. Typically in the film and entertainment industry, we have a lot of camera people that go from perpetual job to perpetual job to perpetual job, and they have the onus of bearing their own overhead.
Okay, let's do a little business for the FCC. You're listening to WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. And let's go to more phone calls. Let's see. We'll go to Chris from Manhattan. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi. Good afternoon. Good morning. I mean, I'm a newly minted independent contractor in real estate sales, and without getting into the issues of what justifies an expense, because it seems like most everything could, and based on what you just said, I want to know what's the best way to keep track of these expenses via apps you've seen like Expensify? Do I need to keep a physical copy for possible audits in the future? It just seems overwhelming with the amount of things that I spend money on to do my business. How do I track those expenses in the best way?
So, Chris, great question. Number one, there are several apps that you can use. I know FreshBooks works closely with the Freelancers Union, and they offer a discount if you're a member, and possibly that might be something to look at, or another program. There are several other commercially available programs. Yeah, it can be overwhelming, and it's something that you really need to keep to make some time to do on a daily or a weekly basis. In terms of receipts, that's a great question. The onus of proof is upon you that the expense is specifically related to your work activity, and you should keep original receipts or, at a minimum, scanned copies.
Antiquated but necessary.
Absolutely. I've been on several audits where it's come an issue where clients have their credit card statements, and that's insufficient proof for the IRS.
Oh, that's interesting. The credit card statements are insufficient.
Insufficient. Usually coupled, they'll like to see that you actually pay those expenses, but they want to see some sort of original proof. Their argument is that item that you bought on Amazon, is it work-related or is it personal?
Yeah, Chris, you know, one thing also I think is there's like a good old rule of thumb that you put 60 cents into a checking account and 40 cents into savings, and you use the savings to pay your taxes and benefits and other things like that. Some people at 70-30, Jonathan, I'm sure, has lots of opinions about that, but you just want to go in with a strategy like that.
Wait, you're saying that you need to have two separate accounts, and one is going to pay everything work-related and one is everything personal?
One thing I've really found from talking to freelancers over the years is there's sticker shock about how much benefits and taxes cost. And so if you have the discipline to, just as soon as the money comes in, separate it into another account, it helps you see what goes to what. And that's the kind of thing that is, you know, in the ebook for how you plan for these kinds of things. But these are the rules of thumbs. I don't know, maybe Jonathan, you have some other good rules of thumbs.
No, Sarah,
people.
You're dead on. You want to work with us? We can always use someone else.
I feel like I do work with you.
Well,
Jonathan,
with one of every three Americans a freelancer, has Congress gotten the memo, or are you guys going to start laughing?
Absolutely no way, Jose.
On two levels. I think, like, on the no way, Jose front, on a bread and butter, what's going on, no. But I think that what we're starting to see is that this constituency is really starting to mobilize and starting to care, starting to really work at the city level. And that's where we're starting to see that there's attention to this. This is like the Wild West, and we've been saying it. And every April 15th, it just is the big, you know, the big battle there.
All right. Well, let's get some more phone calls. We have Nicole from Astoria. You are on the Brian Lehrer Show with these tax experts. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Okay. What's your question?
So basically, I did my taxes pretty much at the beginning of March, last month already. And so I've already received my refund. I already paid what I owed. However, I received a 1099 last week from a client. So I've gotten some people say I need to amend. Some people say I need to report the company. This company also owes me two payments still from last year. So I'm kind of wondering what direction I should go in.
Nicole, did you include that income in your tax return when you originally filed?
I did not.
Then you should file an amended return, because otherwise you will get a love letter from the IRS.
I pay.
Yeah, you don't want it. Definitely file an amended return. It's rather mechanical. In terms of the payment issue, let me allow Sarah to address that, because I know a lot of freelancers have these issues of getting paid.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, why don't you start and I'll riff.
It's a big issue. I mean, every single client of mine that comes in complains that they don't get paid from someone. Someone's stiffing them. They get hustled, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. And in fact, people get stiffed so frequently. But what's also bad is that some of the biggest and most prestigious companies in the city make freelancers an invoice to be paid. They're an account receivable to be paid at 90 days. And there's nothing like that to really kill you financially.
All right. We'll go to – thank you for your call, Nicole, and good luck. We'll go to Bailey from the Catskills. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show. Good morning.
Thank you. It's great to be on. So I had an interesting question that was kind of coming off this whole debacle of expenses that we all experience as freelancers, which, you know, what I'm kind of coming to know as myself being in the freelance industry for the past 7 years is that I function almost more like a B corporation than I do a sole proprietor. And so most of the things that I'm expensing are going back into my business. And so now I'm kind of coming up against not even just working on submitting my expenses, but making a presupposed plan for my next year of how much I'm allowed to spend on anything from computer ink to computer costs, like anything along those lines. So I was wondering, you know, when you actually suggest how a freelancer takes care of what I'm kind of seeing as my allowed expenses from the IRS, you know, what do you really suggest moving forward as the IRS kind of comes to know the fact that, yes, we have an ever-growing population of freelancers, and we don't really have the system or even language that supports this system for people to be actually, you know, to be able to pay their taxes in general?
Well, I think you're raising a good point about budgeting. I know I do this as well in our office. And, yes, you have to be disciplined, and you have to obviously reinvest in your business in order to grow it, but the system's totally broken. Everyone's it's sort of, as Sarah said, so aptly put, it's the Wild West. It's, you know, someone grabs a piece of advice here, a piece of advice there. You know, I personally would suggest that you maybe make an appointment with a tax professional to sit down with him or her to get some more concrete advice.
And you can deduct that too.
Absolutely. Okay. It's a deduction.
All right. Let's try to get some more in. So many people are calling. Mears from Brooklyn on our webpage asks, could the guest please speak about how to define a business meeting? This is a great question. As many freelancers, the people that I work with, I'm also friendly with. So I feel like this is a gray area.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are two ways to answer this. And the first is that the most successful freelancers are the ones with the most robust network. And you have to be networking in order to do well. And so who do you network with? You network with the people you know. And Jonathan is going to give you some specific examples where, you know, what crosses a line. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with going out and building up your network and talking to people, meeting with them, even if they happen to be people you went to college with, et cetera, et cetera.
You should talk shop. You should talk about projects that you're working on. You should talk about developing business, making connections. That's appropriate. When it's inappropriate is you're just hanging out and having beers and you're watching the baseball game.
Right, but you were very strict about the desk being used. What happens if you're like, hey, how's your new girlfriend? And, by the way, you know, what are we doing for this new website?
Document your meeting, document who you met with, document what you discussed.
Somehow I think that corporate CEOs who do all their little business by golfing are just not struggling with this question. And I think that what it is you want to really be able to argue who are you meeting with and why. What was that industry that that person worked in and what was the subject of the discussion? And that probably maybe needs more documentation.
Okay. Absolutely. Again, this is the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Josh Robin of New York One filling in for Brian Lehrer. My guests today are Sarah Horowitz, Executive Director of the Freelancers Union, and Jonathan Meadows, CPA. Another question from our website. Yosef asks, if he has a dedicated spot for work at home and he needs to replace an HVAC unit, HVAC, I think is sometimes people call it, can I deduct that cost? That's a very specific question. Jonathan, am I stumping you?
You're not stumping me. I want to be careful on how I answer questions. So.
Okay.
You can't take off the full cost unless it's specifically an HVAC for that specific home office, but you may be able to take off a proportion of that cost, similar to depreciating your apartment or your house that you live in.
Can I just say, though, Yosef's question really underlies a really important point, which is if you have a complex freelance life, you kind of have to have an accountant, and it's an expense that's really worthwhile. I just can't say that how important that is.
Yeah. And also, why don't you say you have a new ebook out as well?
Yes. Yeah, so the ebook is The Freelancers Union's Guide to Taxes. And it's really from the Freelancers Bible, our book. And you can get it, you know, online at, you know, Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And there should be some progressive great co-op that sells these ebooks as well. So anybody out there, go build that.
Jonathan Meadows is Meadows. You're based here in Manhattan?
That's correct.
Okay, let's go to Kareem from Brooklyn. You are on the Brian Lehrer Show. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about assets versus deductions. I'm always confused about whether the equipment that I'm using, I'm actually a freelance videographer and a video editor, and I'm not sure if I should be deducting them as an asset or as a deduction.
There are special rules about long-lived assets. You have to depreciate them over the course of several years. You should go to the IRS website, though, and read more about Section 179 depreciation and special depreciation. You may be able to write part or all of that off this year.
Okay. We're going to go to Matt from Richmond, Virginia. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm a freelancer, and I wanted to know, other than contributing to your IRA, which of course has a cap, are there any good options out there for freelancers to put away for retirement?
Well, that's a great question. Freelancers Union has a great free 401k that has absolutely no minimums, and it's in partnership with Amalgamated Bank, and something that already hundreds of freelancers have participated in, but it's something that doesn't exist. It's a social purpose initiative to really get at the problem that working people don't have, $1,500 to put in to start a traditional kind of retirement, but this is a great plan. You can go to our website to find it. And I just want to also add, as we're going to close up, that people can go to Freelancers Union's website and go to Hives and start talking to other freelancers. And Jonathan is a great participant in those Hives and is a great, great accountant, as is obvious.
Okay. Thank you.
Lucy from Manhattan, you're on the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I'm a performer, and I received a large grant this year for one of my projects. I know that that's considered taxable income, but if I spent all of that money and more on the project, do I still have to pay taxes on that? Can I deduct everything that I put out for that project going towards the money that I received as the grant?
Possibly, yes. You should make sure that all the expenses are appropriate. If you spent all the money on the grant on appropriate expenses, yes, you shouldn't pay taxes on that money, but you still do need to file tax returns and report that information.
Okay.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you.
Carl from Ridgewood, Queens. Carl, you're on the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi there. So I'm a freelance graphic designer, and this past year I hired two different subcontractors, and each of them were paid less than $600. So I get a little confused about the 1099 rule and then reporting their work as deductions.
So under $600 or less, under $600, you do not need to file a 1099.
Okay.
For your records, though, you should have them complete a W-9 form, which you can get from IRS.gov. And you can still expense that even though you don't have to issue a 1099.
I would have to provide the W-9.
No, that's for your records.
Oh, great. Okay.
All right. Best of luck with everything.
Great. Thank you.
May I ask, if it's not too personal, how much should freelancers be charged if they do see an accountant?
It ranges on complexity. I know from my firm we have fees from $250 up to a couple thousand dollars. It just depends upon what's going on in the individual freelancer's life.
But if people go to, again, Hives at Freelancers Union, they can ask other freelancers in other parts of the country, other cities, and their industries, how much are they paying?
Okay. Corey from Manhattan says it's actually much simpler than everyone is making it out. Corey, what do you mean? You're on the Brian Lehrer Show.
Yeah, I'm a sole practitioner attorney upstate, and I've been the sole practitioner for the past 18 years or something like that, and which is indistinguishable from a freelancer. People that are freelancers have to consider themselves to simply be a self-employed business, and they have to think in terms of simply running their freelancing as if it was a business, and the business is them, just as my business is me. And what you need to simply do is have a separate checking account for all of your business everything, all the expenses in connection with your freelancing. It's a good idea to have a separate credit card for all of the expenses of your freelancing. Put as much as you can on the credit card so that you get an organized statement and it's all clear. Then when, get yourself a program like QuickBooks, now you have, QuickBooks Pro or something like that. They're not that expensive. Download all of your expenses and income on those two accounts into QuickBooks. You can transfer that to TurboTax.
Hey, Corey, this is Sarah. Can I just say that, first of all, it sounds like you have this really have handled this, great for how you're working. I would say what is really different, though, for many, many other people, A, they're new to it, but also that freelancing has gotten just so complicated because people are working on so very many gigs and they're working at home. But I think your advice sounds really right on. But again, it's going to be more complicated for different people, and I think that's why you want to talk to other people.
I may be working for 20 clients at the same time.
Okay, we're going to leave it there, but thank you for calling. Here's a question from our website, Mel from New York City writes, I'm a housekeeper. I get paid by personal check, and my employer does not mention me on their taxes. No taxes, no deductions are made for my check. Am I a freelancer? What kind of income is this? I earn $18,000 a year. What do I file it under?
It's considered self-employment income. You need to pay income tax and self-employment tax at the federal level. If you're in a city, you also have to pay state and city income tax. You may be able to take deductions if you have out-of-pocket expenses such as cleaning and supplies and those type of things.
Okay. Sarah. All right, let's go to Chad from Queens. Chad, you're on the Brian Lehrer Show. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. So in 2013, when the federal government had the budget crisis and did not pay their employees, including their contractors, my wife was not getting paid. And so the last two months of paychecks were actually considered payments inside 2014. And so that kind of threw us for a loop. And so now we owe $9,000. And what if people don't have $9,000? Oh, yeah. And what if you can't pay all that? What are the options there?
So, first of all, sorry to hear that. The government will allow for you to create a payment plan, both federal and state. The federal one is relatively easy. You can do it as part of your tax return or go to the IRS.gov.
Is there interest on that?
Yes, there is interest. Actually, the state charge interest is much higher than the federal interest. I'd encourage you to pay the state tax return off, state liability off first if you can, and pay that as quickly as possible. But you can do it over a few years if you have to.
Apart from calling an accountant and looking at your book, is there any trick to going to the calling someone at the IRS and actually getting a person there?
Good luck. They've had a lot of budget cuts. You can't get a hold of anyone.
Right.
But I do think the larger issue also is that this is part of the need for a real advocacy campaign to start talking about how we have to update the tax system. It's part of something much larger than that. But freelancers are setting the course of our economy, and we need to see that people are supported and have an opportunity to flourish and grow. And, you know, okay, taxes are going to be painful for everyone. We're never going to get over that. That's true. But why the special pain for freelancers?
Yeah. Okay, we have Mina from Manhattan. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show.
Yes, I'm calling with a question about I've been a freelancer for a while in entertainment and in film and commercial work, and I've been considering starting an S corp for my business in order to one, I'm just wondering what the cons might be for that in terms of cost, and two, the reason I've been thinking about it is because of health insurance and some loans, like student loans, sort of reducing my personal income to keep it in my business. And also, I understand that there might be less scrutiny of the receipts and expenditures if I'm running an S corp. And I'm just wondering what the pros and cons are of
Jonathan. Tell us
that.
Okay, Jonathan, tell us what an S corp is.
An S corporation is a corporation that where the profits are flowed through to you and you pay the taxes on your personal taxes, on your personal tax returns. However, in New York City, those profits are still subject to a business tax. So it's not such the panacea in New York City to have an S corporation. Pros of having an S corporation are separately filed tax returns, being able to convert some of the income into profit not subject to self-employment tax. However, that then becomes subject to New York City business tax. Cons are increased costs, increased complexity. You have to put yourself on payroll. Visit IRS.gov to see the regulations regarding this.
Mina, I hope that helped. Let's go to Lester in Manhattan as well. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show. Good morning.
Oh, hi. I haven't heard mentioned I've been a freelancer for years, though I'm not making too much money anymore. But I haven't heard mentioned the sole proprietorship 401k plan for retirement. And it's a neat thing. You just you set up an account. If you're filing a Schedule C as a sole proprietorship business,
okay,
and you can deduct, I think it's around $20,000. You have complete freedom of how much you want to put in the a retirement plan.
Okay, we're going to leave it there, Lester. We're going to have Jonathan answer.
Yeah, there are a myriad of plans out there. There's a plan that the freelancers usually have with Amalgamated Bank. I suggest speaking with a financial advisor. I can think of 20 off the top of my head. All have pros and cons.
Okay, we're going to go to Shahid from the Bronx. You are on the Brian Lehrer Show. What's your question?
Good morning. You just forgive me, but this weather has killed me.
Amen.
Have a bad cold. I'm a licensed vendor. And I'm looking to throw in the towel, but I was wondering, do you know what the minimum amount of taxes you have to pay into the Social Security account before you can collect?
I don't know that answer offhand, but you can make an appointment with Social Security, get there early, and you can go see one of the counselors that are there, and they'll give you a report of where you stand, what your projected benefits are.
Right, and what the number of years are and what the whole formula is. But, yeah, and you also should be getting it. Frequently they send you
about once a year.
Yeah.
Okay. We have Bill also from Manhattan. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show with a tax question for the experts here. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to follow up on the question earlier about the S-Corp. I have an S-Corp, and I switched from being a freelancer. I kind of was in a position where I had to start my own company for insurance purposes, a film production company, and I've been paying myself still as self-employed. And I heard you mention that she should get herself on as payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem I'm having now is New York State is insisting that I pay New York State unemployment insurance for myself.
That's correct. That's correct. Distributions from an S corporation, even if you're not technically on payroll, are still subject from New York State unemployment insurance. And those amounts are going up every year.
All right. It's very helpful, all of this. Let's go to Judy on Long Island. Question about her son. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show.
Yes, hi. I'm calling because my son has been a freelancer and has had medical insurance through freelancers for his family and himself. But this year, he always had the plans that included out-of-network, and that became unavailable not only through freelancers, but for anyone on any policy, including the exchange, if you're self-employed. And that seems to be a problem, that you can't get that type of insurance at all if you're self-employed. But the second question is, can one have medical savings plans independently of the policies you buy, so that if you do want to go to doctors out of network, you can at least take a tax advantage through that? Because it seems to me a lot of policies don't even allow that.
Okay, we're going to have Sarah answer. Go ahead,
yeah,
Sarah.
Judy, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it is like the biggest disappointment that on the exchange there are no out-of-network benefits, and Freelancers Union is actively trying to move that forward to get insurance companies to do that. As many people know, after health reform, our insurance company wasn't able to continue in the same way, and so we now partner with Empire, and we are really actively going to be moving toward trying to get as expanded a coverage as possible. And I agree with your frustration. It's kind of outrageous that, again, this is an example where freelancers are typically just over the subsidy level, so they don't get the benefits. They're really having a hard time making ends meet. And then on top of it all, to not have the insurance companies to be required, as the Freelancers Insurance Company had the greatest expanded network, and to have no option is just really a shame. And it's something that's really not right in New York State. There should be out-of-network benefits for people as they need them.
We're going to try to squeeze in one more phone call. This is a real curveball. Dan from Brooklyn, you're on the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi there.
Hi.
So my question is, I'm a freelancer, and the bulk of my income comes from a foreign company that's in the EU via PayPal, and I don't get a 1099 or anything from them. So I'm just curious if there are any special, I mean, I'm sure there are, but what are the rules that apply to a freelancer in my situation with foreign income?
Bottom line, you should report it as taxable income and make sure you pay the appropriate taxes.
Okay. We're going to leave it there. Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it. That was Sarah Horowitz from the Freelancers Union. Tell us once again the name of the book is?
It's The Freelancers Union Guide to Taxes, and good luck, everybody, this tax season.
Yeah, and also Jonathan Meadows. He is a CPA. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Next up, Jacob Silverman, author of Terms of Service, is demanding we take control of our digital lives.